Thank you, Bells. We're grateful for your contributions. Friends, I would direct you this morning to our second scripture reading. You're going to find it in the Gospel of John. So I'd invite you to grab this in the Pew Bible or the Bible you brought from home. It'll be on the screens here as well. We're reading from John chapter 6, verses 5 through 15. And I'll tell you, I suspect this story is going to be familiar. So I'd invite you to open your ears that we might hear and see in it God's word for us, even a new word this day. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked him this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them, and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they had intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. God Almighty, provider of our daily bread, speak this morning. Speak that we might hear a word from you, a living word, a transforming word, that we might see that even in the midst of great challenge, you make the small among us large enough and great enough to meet it. We ask it this day in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, friends, the reality is we live in a big world, and in a big world that has big challenges. In fact, in the last 10 years, I think I've been reminded over and over and over again of how large these challenges are, how interconnected this world really is. One bad morning on Wall Street ripples throughout the entire world. China and Taiwan and Japan. One protest in one city today becomes a global movement, an international voice throughout the entire world. A virus in one place can circle the world in months. We live in a world that does not have small challenges. And no matter how much we would like to hit that easy button, smash it, there's not easy, simple solutions to the vast and complex and nuanced problems that surround us. In fact, it hit me this week. Maybe that's why there are 20-plus Marvel Avengers movies. Has it ever struck you that this is a moment where it's appealing that there's someone with superhuman strength, someone who's better than us, who's stronger than us, maybe even smarter than us? Maybe they can solve the problem. Maybe they are the solution that we're looking for. But the honest truth is, if we take a moment and we step back from our small circles and we look at the vast problems of our world, it's terrifying. It's a deep-seated fear that what are we going to do if the problems are larger than the strength we can muster to face them? And friends, if you're willing to confess that, maybe feel it this morning, just for a moment, that these problems are so large, you have now found the connecting point for our text this morning. I don't know about you, I've heard this story countless times in my Christian life. Jesus feeds the 5,000. I know how the story ends. All of them get fed. There's more than enough. It's a wonderful, happy ending. But friends, wait a minute. Back the train up. Imagine you're one of these disciples, okay? The day has been going really well. Everybody gathers up on this hillside. You're one of the disciples. You look out, 5,000 men. You notice that, men, not women and children. There's countless more women and children. A crowd that fans out in front of you. That's a great day. I'm with this guy, right? I'm one of the 12. That's awesome. The day starts. Jesus is teaching. You're thinking, we've got a bit of a movement happening here. And Jesus keeps teaching, and lunch goes on, and you start to feel a little hungry, and the crowd starts looking at you with that hangry eyes glazed over. You know what I'm talking about. And suddenly all of these people wrapped by Jesus' teaching become a potential mob who want to eat. 5,000 plus people with no way to feed them. Now the disciples start to feel a little anxious. Jesus the teacher can very quickly become Jesus the one who doesn't meet the people's needs. And Jesus, like Jesus does, is wonderful. He asks, where are we going to get food? And you know the disciples are thinking, oh crap, he doesn't have an answer either. I've been hoping this whole time. He's asking me? Jesus, that would cost more than a year's salary. What are we going to do? My wife will tell you this freely. I'm no Martha Stewart. But I know that you don't go ask a person with the gift of hospitality, how do we feed 5,000 people in 30 minutes? That's a quick way to get in a lot of trouble. This is a big problem. And even as this problem stretches before them, Jesus asks his disciples, what do we do? So then Andrew, everybody's got an Andrew, right? Andrew, who's been looking at this crowd and is like, okay, we got to figure this out. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough food. I'm going to go look and see if I can find the food. And he finds a kid with a lunchbox. And he's like, you're it. You're the start. So he goes and takes the kid's lunch. He brings the kid up to Jesus and says, here we go. I've got it. I don't know how this is going to feed all these people, but Jesus, here's the answer. If you don't laugh at some of the stories in the Bible, you haven't heard them rightly. That'd be like going to Spirit Lake Elementary School, taking a kid's Lunchable and saying, we're going to feed all of you kids. It doesn't work. It doesn't work numerically. Fundamentally, this thing that Andrew does is ridiculous. It's like, let's dig an escape tunnel through concrete, but with chopsticks. Or it's like, let's fight a forest fire. I'll get my garden hose. Or it's like, maybe we're going to drive to Argentina on a tricycle. They're bad ideas. You get my point. This is a massive problem. Is a challenge that none of us could honestly think could be met. And here Andrew shows up with a small child's lunch. I think that's why I love our middle schoolers' retelling of this story. Maybe it helps us see this in a new way. If you stood before 5,000 with no food, how would you feel? Nothing short of anxious, if not afraid. We, friends, are tempted to despise the small. We're tempted to scoff at the young boy's lunch. How, Andrew, do you think this could be an answer to the problem? And what I love about Youth Sunday, what I love even more specifically about the church, is that this is a place at our very best where we remember that God has chosen to use the small things to meet the great challenges of the world. Youth, they're not the largest things in our society. They don't have political power. They don't vote. Children aren't CEOs of corporations. They don't make a lot of money and they don't get to make policy. They don't pay taxes. Most of the time, they don't get to pick what's for supper. Kids are not the most powerful. They're not the most useful. And yet we in the church say over and over and over, do not scoff at the small things that God has called. Because the smallest gifts in life can become the greatest seeds for God's spiritual provision. Jesus takes this small boy's lunch. He gives thanks for it. And acting unfazed, he says to his disciples, feed the crowd. To their credit, they take it, they go. And at the end of the day, there's 12 baskets left over. Now, let's be honest. We know this. This is never about the lunch. It was never about if you cut bread a certain way, it multiplies. This was always about Jesus. It was that Jesus is the bread of life, that he will feed our bodies and our spirits even in the face of monumental challenges. Jesus is enough. Yet, you noticed, Jesus chose that little boy's lunch. He didn't need that lunch, but he chose to use it. He chose to use that sign to show us that when the kingdom of God comes, God goes to the least, and from the least, he answers the largest and most monumental challenges. This morning, I think it's worth saying, it's worth remembering, maybe even youth, it's worth for you to be told. So Sunday school kids, how many Sunday school kids are in the sanctuary? I'm talking to you. How many of you have given an offering in Sunday school? Have you ever given an offering? Put your hand in the air. Let's see it. Guys, do you know that for 8 years, you have been sending a child in Africa to school with your offerings? You know that your offerings have literally fed a young man. You have made a difference. Doesn't matter if you're in preschool. You have made a difference in the world. Guys, you know that our 5th and 6th grades, every year at VBS, they leave this building and they go into our community and they do service projects as part of VBS. They make a real difference in our community. I'm grateful for Jan. Do you know that our middle school showed up on Thursday night to do an event to help people eat and to bring them joy for no other reason than they were asked to do so? That makes a difference. Friends, do you realize that our high school is on their own volition planning a fundraiser to give Christmas presents to kids in need in our community? It's their idea and it's their plan. We make a mistake when we forsake the small, when we pass over those who don't seem to have the power or the wisdom or the insight. Friends, these are the ones that God has chosen to make a difference. But Jesus never made that same mistake. And I think what we learn from our youngest disciples on Youth Sunday, it is never too early to begin making a difference in the world. And if we're honest as adults, I think the temptation is to think that there's no way our gifts could meet the world's largest problems. Sure, I could go to the banquet in Sioux Falls. I could serve those who don't have food, but it won't solve poverty. Of course not. You're only called to give what you have. We might be tempted to say, I can't fund all the missionaries. There's so many good works. How could I possibly help them all? You can't. You're called to do one small thing. We feel like we can't preach to the thousands. We don't have our own stages. So we fail to share our faith with that one person who could desperately hear it from us. We think that we can't endow a new building project. So we fail to give a donation of any size that will help one student go on a summer mission trip that could change their life forever. We tell ourselves, I can't pray all day long. So we fail to pray at all. So my invitation this morning is simply twofold. First of all, for the young disciples at First Presbyterian Church, whether you're in preschool or you're all the way in 12th grade, I want to invite you for a moment to pause and reflect. You have been leading worship this morning. It's not just symbolic. You have a place here at First Presbyterian Church. We ask you to teach and to lead, and in doing so, you will be more like Jesus Christ. Because guys, someday you will be the leaders of this church. You will be responsible to pass on the faith to the next generation. Today, we will baptize baby Arlo into the life of this congregation. And in doing so, we will be reminded that you, youth, are responsible to encourage and to uplift baby Arlo in his own faith in Jesus Christ. This is for every member, regardless of how great or small. And for everyone else here at First Presbyterian Church, it may be an invitation to reconsider the small gifts in our life. Have we maybe forsaken? Have we looked over what seems like simple bread? Have we not offered to Jesus the thing that he can transform into the solution to some of the greatest problems? It's not about us being smart enough. It's not about us simply reaching for things beyond our ability. It's about having faith in the one who calls us. May we this day be brave enough to bring our small gifts to Jesus Christ. Because friends, if we bring those small gifts, maybe, just maybe, we might see a crowd of 5,000 fed. Not because of the feast that we brought, but because of the provision of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Whether you're young or old, do not forsake the small, for the small is what God has chosen to change the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, I'd invite you to stand.